Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Gavin Newsom, 2024. Why is he going after Tucker Carlson? We talk about how Democrats recenter the narrative as they're trying to get us through a civilizational transition. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app. Type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. And support our program at charliekirk.com/support as we do this program live from Hillsdale College. You guys can go to charlieforhillsdale.com for all things Hillsdale College. That is charlieforhillsdale.com, charlieforhillsdale.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We are here from Hillsdale College, the beacon of the North, the last college. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Do me a favor, take out your phone, open up the podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. At Hillsdale, your children would receive a proper education in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, our founding documents. You can also take their online courses at charlieforhillsdale.com. You see, the Democrats typically are focused on politics. They're very good at focusing on politics. And they've been so focused on politics over the last couple of years, primarily with their fascination, their pathological obsession with Donald Trump. They cannot stop talking about him. But recently, I've seen a little bit of a pivot. I've seen the Democrats actually realize that this is more than Donald Trump. That Donald Trump, yes, started the movement. Donald Trump articulated the grievances and the concerns of the American citizenry. But this is no longer just about politics, no longer just about who executes the laws. It's deeper than that. And Democrats that are a little bit ahead of the curve are starting to articulate this. I believe Gavin Newsom will be the nominee in 2024. I'd love your thoughts, by the way, freedom@charliekirk.com. We've made a series of predictions here. The Department of Justice and the FBI, we believe, will indict Hunter Biden after the election, right before Republicans take over Congress as a way to try to, meaning get sworn into Congress, as a way to try to say, hey, see, we're balanced. I think that Hunter Biden has a indictment looming sometime in late November, early December. I do not think Merrick Garland will make it much longer. I think he's going to resign. And I think that Joe Biden will make an announcement sometime next year. Now, because of personal issues, he always just wanted to serve one term to heal the nation, and that he's going to open up the Democrat primary. Now, all this is speculation, but we have lots of evidence to show this. Biden is so deeply unpopular. The polling shows that he is sinking every single Democrat ticket. This looming red wave is driven largely thanks to the incompetence, the lack of leadership of Joe Biden, and his unpopularity. It's one poll after the other. It is one story after the other. Pelosi has even trial ballooning this idea of he's done a great service to the country. He beat Trump. That's going to be his contribution. Hunter Biden will plea down to community service. Joe Biden will then be able to pardon Hunter Biden on the way out. And Joe Biden will have been the implemented president. He would have been the person that was in the basement, didn't campaign, mass mail in ballots, Zucker boxes, drop boxes, Center for Technology and Civic Life, signature verification issues, the plot that overtook the 2020 election, as Molly Ball wrote in Time magazine via Mark Elias, and Joe Biden will be a bridge candidate. Joe Biden has always looked at himself as a bridge president. We've called him a bridge president. We've called him a bridge president for a reason, because he looks at himself as a bridge from traditional America that protects and preserves the Constitution. I'm sorry, that honors the Constitution, that protects our natural God-given rights, and a transitionary phase, a transitory phase, they love that word, into a non-Western country, into something despotic, authoritarian, that does not respect separation of powers, checks and balances, consent to the governed, and is something that is far-reaching and distant from what America should be. Not one rooted in free enterprise, trade, voluntary transaction. They love that word transitory. They talk about inflation being transitory. They talk about gender being transitory. They talk about energy being transitory, that we have to transition. But what they're really transitioning is our civilization. We're in the midst of a civilizational transition. They're trying to change the framework, change the structure, change the philosophy, change the ideas that undergird the entire civilization. And so I remain committed that Joe Biden will not run in 2024. I'd love your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. Maybe you see something we're missing, or maybe you have some insight that we don't have. But therefore, the question is, then who? Well, it seems as if there very well might be a spirited Democrat primary. However, I think that there is a good chance that Gavin Newsom will run for office and will become the nominee. Gavin Newsom raises buckets of money. He is unfortunately very well liked by the kind of donors of the Democrat Party. He's more articulate than not, even though when you listen to him in some of these tapes, he thinks he's super smart. He thinks he's super profound. He's been taking acting classes, you could tell, from DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, with the pregnant pauses and the elongated, let's just say, focus on certain words. Very dramatic. And so let's just focus on Gavin Newsom for a second, because Gavin Newsom made a very interesting comment over the weekend where he decided to use his platform, his interview at the Texas Tribune event. I think that's the name of the event. Texas Tribune event. Ted Cruz is there. Hillary Clinton was there. Gavin Newsom was there. Liz Cheney was there. And some people said, oh, why was Ted Cruz there? I don't like that he was there. No, he got interviewed. It was an interview format. The Texas Tribune, far left wing rag, they actually did a pretty good job of interviewing Liz Cheney and asked an appropriate follow up question. And then they had some sort of left wing activist that I think fills in for Rachel Maddow now interviewing Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom has a cult like following amongst, let's just say, upper middle class, not very happy suburban women. Upper middle class, not very happy suburban women are big fans of Gavin Newsom. They find him comforting, confident. They like his directional leadership. The polls reflect it. I've heard it firsthand. It's weird. It's bizarre. It's perplexing. We don't have to fixate on it too much. But Gavin Newsom is able to raise a lot of money. The media loves him. He's not totally stupid or dumb. I don't think he's as articulate as he thinks he is, because I don't think he's ever had to go up against a true rigor of a Republican opposition. So I just think his muscles are not really built for a four-quarter fight or a 13, 14, 15-round boxing match, if you will. I don't think Gavin Newsom will be able to withstand the conservative media, such as this program, Bannon, Tucker, and others, going after him, because he's been nothing but lauded and praised his entire life, from mayor of San Francisco eventually to become governor of California. Whenever he's challenged, for example, when Adam Carolla challenged him, the great Adam Carolla, friend of this program, who we don't agree with everything Adam politically, but he's funny, he is direct. And if you listen to this interview between Adam Carolla and Gavin Newsom, it's unbelievable. Gavin Newsom was never challenged on homelessness before. You know, he thought he was going into a very, very safe interview. But Gavin is very slippery. Whenever you think that there is not an escape hatch, Gavin Newsom finds one. So Gavin Newsom was being interviewed this weekend. And I find it interesting for a couple reasons. I don't just find it interesting because I believe he will be the Democrat nominee. Of course, we can end up being wrong about that, but I'm pretty certain that Gavin Newsom is being properly trial ballooned this, and he's making the proper, he's making the appropriate denunciations and refusals. Is Gavin Newsom, in his interview, mentions what is the true threat to the Republic. And it's no longer Donald Trump. And this is a very important point. They are broadening and widening their domestic war. It used to always be about Trump. It used to be about removing Donald Trump. We just got to get him out of office and everything will be better. But now it's about domestic violent extremists, of which they can't articulate or tell you who they are. Or now it's about the entire half of the country. And so they have to create new enemies, tyrants that are not able to run on their record for eliminating homelessness or improving people's lives or raising wages. They have to run on something. So they need a foil. They need an enemy. They need an opposition. They need something to lean against. And that something just so happens to be Tucker Carlson. That's right. Gavin Newsom, in an interview over the weekend, said that he is more worried about Tucker Carlson than Donald Trump. Now, that very well might be a cheap talking point. That might be something that was workshopped or rehearsed, but it's very instructive, I believe. It's instructive in the sense that Gavin Newsom, the governor of the nation's largest state and wealthiest state, is fixating on a cable television host, the most popular cable television host, that draws 3 to 4 million people every single night. Why? Not the former president at Mar-a-Lago, No longer is he focused on the Republican infrastructure. No, it's focusing on the narrative. And I think that is something now the Democrats are going to latch onto more. And this is not the first time they've done this. They did this when they thought that Facebook was the reason that Donald Trump won in 2016. They are now very worried that the distribution of information, you being able to consume information absent censors or people trying to silence you, is a massive threat. Gavin Newsom goes out of his way to not talk about how his state has become a complete and total third world country. It's become Brazil with high crime, and the elites are doing very well. A very well-oiled machine of a technocratic Silicon Valley technological class, a well-paid government service class, and a permanent underclass that is addicted to government benefits. Newsom never talks about that. Look, in the good old days, we Americans argued about which policies to pursue to improve this beautiful country. Charlie Kirk here. Too often, we find ourselves arguing about whether or not America is great or not, or whether we should be ashamed or whether we should love America. The reason for this is simple. For too many years, too many of our schools have been neglecting to teach young people about our great heritage of liberty, presenting them instead a dishonest narrative of America as a fundamentally unjust or racist country. Hillsdale College is weighing in for America, the wonderful Hillsdale College, by offering a free online course, such as The Great American Story, A Land of Hope, Constitution 101, The Meaning of a History of the Constitution. As we get closer to Constitution Day, September 17th, I encourage all of you to enroll in one of these wonderful free courses from Hillsdale. And even better, encourage your friends and family to sign up too. Begin your Hillsdale course today at charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Check it out, charlie4hillsdale.com. We have the best listeners. Somebody said, what about J.B. Pritzker running for president for Illinois? It worked for Obama coming out of Illinois. Thank you, Dan, for the email. I am going to say the obvious. Obama and Pritzker are two very different type of politicians. Let's just leave it that way. So Newsom, I think, is someone who's going to run in 24. And I think this is important because I think it ties into the midterms. We can't stop looking at the midterms. Midterms are super important. We got some new polls out, by the way, that show the Washington Senate race is a statistical tie. That's right. The state of Washington Senate race is a statistical tie between the Marxist Patty Murray and Tiffany Smiley. By the way, I'm going to try to change my language and hold me accountable to this. Unless it is necessary to say, I'm going to try to describe Democrats as Marxists. I made the decision yesterday. It's going to be just hold me accountable. I know I'm not going to do a great job of it because I'm not used to it. Unless it's necessary to say, for example, the Democrat Party or, but they're total Marxists. We need to brand them as that. We did a whole show on who Karl Marx is, what he believes, and how his ideas have been applied on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. You guys could check it out. So you got Patty Murray, who's a Marxist, running against Tiffany Smiley, who's a Republican in the state of Washington. By the way, why is it important that we do that? They're calling all of us fascists. Immediately, we must transition. If they want to elevate the language, if they want to escalate, sorry, the language, we must double and triple down. I think Joe Biden is actually closer to a quasi-authoritarian fascist Marxist. You might say fascist Marxist. How does that work? He has elements of both. Pandering to some big business and giving them handouts, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, while also believing in cultural Marxism of social relativity, of transgenderism. Maybe he's a semi-Marxist. So it all ties in together. We're going to get into some of these polls. By the way, there's some great trends that are starting to appear in the Nevada Senate race with Adam Laxalt. It is a sleeper race. I think we could totally take out Cortez Masto, driven, by the way, by Hispanic voters defecting from the Democrat Party. Very exciting stuff. But Gavin Newsom sat down for an interview with the new Rachel Maddow. I don't know her name. And so she sat down. I want to play this piece of tape here. First, this is the interesting one. Cut 60. Gavin Newsom saying that Republicans are the ruthless ones and the Democrat Party needs to assert itself more aggressively, as if the indictment of Bannon, Navarro, raiding O'Keefe's home, raiding Giuliani's home, raiding Trump's home, raiding Catholic pro-life activists' home with 30 SWAT members, going after entire half of the country, spying them and calling them domestic terrorists because they just show up to school board meetings is not aggressive enough, according to Gavin Newsom. Play cut 60.
These guys are ruthless on the other side. Where are we? Where are we organizing bottom up a compelling alternative narrative? Where are we going on the offense every single day? They're winning right now. The Democratic Party has to assert itself much more aggressively.
We have to be much more aggressive. What is he talking about? Well, that's the way a lot of people in the Democrat Party feel. They do not believe in the rule of law, presumption of innocence. No, Gavin Newsom is articulating a once fringe belief in the Democrat Party that leg irons, handcuffs, surveillance, calling half the country terrorists and fascists is not just necessary, it's helpful for them politically. He's saying that we're the ones that are fighting hard. I got some news for you, Gavin Newsom. Republicans have not even started to fight. We are just waking up to the idea of beginning to fight. We are just the beginning inches of what the possible power of the conservative movement could be through education, culturally, religiously, economically, financially, entrepreneurially. We're finally realizing that, okay, the left has taken over everything like a virus contagion via the progressives, the administrative state, the postmodernists, the post-structuralists. They've infected every corner of the American society. We weren't fighting for 50 years. We are in the first inning, and Gavin Newsom thinks we're aggressive. He's seen nothing. And of course, he must stay peaceful. I have to say that all the time because the media loves to misrepresent our words. But we are just beginning to entertain the idea of what fighting might be. They took over everything. They've been fighting for a long time. They're worried. What Gavin Newsom is worried about, which is why he's trying to rally his troops to fight more to stunt our movement, he's worried that finally Republicans and conservatives are willing to meet the left on their own terrain, that we're willing to play offense, that we're willing to challenge them. And that's why he hates Tucker Carlson so much, because Tucker is charismatic. Tucker is articulate. And boy, does this feel similar to Barack Hussein Obama when he said Rush Limbaugh was the great threat to the country. Hey, Charlie Kirk here. When it comes to liberals in Congress, there's no way they would accept term limits on themselves. And yet now they're fighting tooth and nail to impose term limits on Supreme Court justices. Term limits for thee, but not for me. Sounds completely hypocritical. Of course it is. But since when has that ever been a problem for the American left? They do whatever they want to try to seize more power, even if it means purging the Supreme Court of its most experienced justices. To no one's surprise, their new court purging scheme would remove long-serving, amazing justices like the super brilliant Clarence Thomas and the courageous Samuel Alito. They would then replace these new justices with a rubber stamp and their radical agenda. Since Democrats are working hard to pass court purging with term limits, we need to work even harder to stop it, or the Supreme Court as we know it will never be the same. If you care about the integrity of the Supreme Court and don't want to see it taken over by political hacks, go to supremecoup.com. That is supremecoup.com. They've done this before. I remember when Obama went after Rush Limbaugh. They know that the real power is in the people and the communicators and the narrative of the people. So Gavin Newsom decided to spend some of his commentary in saying, look, I'm not worried about Trump as much as I'm worried about Tucker Carlson. Play cut 68.
I worry about Trump. Worry about Trumpism. I worry more about Tucker Carlson. I worry about Ron DeSantis. He's a bully. He threatened the Special Olympics with $27 million in fines. Who does that? Abbott is light years ahead in policy than DeSantis, but DeSantis weaponized it next level. So yeah, I worry about Trump because, you know, Trump has proven that democracy is now partisan, which is remarkable.
Could you imagine being in that audience? Wow, that's so profound. Yeah, democracy is partisan. I'll be honest, the more I hear of Gavin Newsom, the more I believe he's totally beatable. And this is interesting. If Trump runs in 2024, which it looks like it'd be an inevitability that he's going to run in 2024, or if it's DeSantis or whatever, you look at the average Republican candidate. You take Mastriano, you take Carrie Lake, you take Blake Masters, you take Herschel Walker, you take J.D. Vance. They are far and away more articulate than Gavin Newsom. Why? They have to deal with legitimate questions on a daily basis. Gavin Newsom says, well, Trump made democracy partisan. What are you talking about? And that's their new thing. Whenever they talk about democracy, of course, it doesn't mean democracy. It means when Democrats are not in control. That's what they mean by democracy. But they understand the power of the narrative. As they're trying to execute a civilizational transition, they're trying to take America from one thing, one form, into something completely different. And Joe Biden has played his role already as the bridge, as the transition, as the overseer of that transitory phase. But they're very worried that someone's going to call them out on their nonsense. You see, Tucker is a conduit to the truth. And it's not just Tucker. It's Bannon's program. It's this program. It's several others. Jesse Waters has been having amazing shows lately. Have you been seeing Jesse? It's awesome. And so Newsom and many others know that as long as there is a drumbeat that they can't cancel, as long as there's a drumbeat like Laura Ingraham and many others that they can't eliminate, as long as there's AM radio out there, like the great one Levin and so many of these other colleagues that and people that are in the fight for liberty, then it's decentralized. And Newsom knows that. Newsom's not saying this by mistake. Newsom is trying to trial balloon the eventual censorship and the eventual silencing of the entire right of the country. Do you see how it broadens from it's Donald Trump who's a threat to the republic or a threat to democracy, which of course we're not a democracy, which the wonderful Hillsdale College educates very well on as we're here in Hillsdale, Michigan, to all of a sudden it broadens. It broadens to the people that are merely calling out their nonsense. What do tyrants hate? They hate sunlight, which is actually an inverse of the promise of the Washington Post. The Washington Post is always saying democracy dies in darkness. First of all, we're not a democracy. But secondly, it's interesting because what they're trying to say is that we're going to be the examining light of nefarious activity. And as soon as someone even just puts a little bit of examination onto one of these people, whether it be Andrew Cuomo, Hillary Clinton, Gavin Newsom, they immediately have to attack the messenger instantaneously. And this is not new. Barack Obama did this all the time. I believe Tucker Carlson is the heir and has inherited the power, the audience, and the impact, at least for now, that Rush Limbaugh enjoyed for 20 years. He's in a different medium. He's on television. It's not AM radio. It's not podcasting. But no mistake, Tucker drives the news cycle. Tucker is not just for the base. It is for Democrats. It's for independents. It's for moderates. Tucker is entertaining. At times he's sarcastic. He's truthful. He talks about issues that no one else is willing to talk about, which is why Gavin Newsom has to single him out. Obama did the exact same thing. This is Obama going after Rush Limbaugh when Rush was the one beating the drum against the Democrat regime. Play cut 74.
What I can comment on is the fact that all decent folks can agree that the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and we want you to be engaged, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
So that's Obama going after the great Rush Limbaugh after the Sandra Fluck controversy, which I don't need to relitigate the whole thing, where Limbaugh went after Sandra Fluck and then cancel culture and the nonsense went after Rush Limbaugh, including Barack Obama. Producer Andrew says it's fluke. No, Rush used to call her Sandra Fluck, but that's just that's something else. We'll talk that. I know it's Sandra Fluke, but that's, we're going back a decade. It's actually a decade and 2 years. Just like Peter Struckstroke Smirk or Chuck U. Schumer. Oh, man, he was so great. They have to go after the narrative. The narrative is supreme. The regime rests on the power of the narrative. They need a uniform drumbeat. And just understand what happens when we are able to get the message out. Look at, for example, the reaction to the Chinese coronavirus, from the vaccine to the lockdowns to masks. How much longer would they have been able to continue to proliferate their tyranny if it wasn't for opposition media? And they're always talking about how we need protections for journalists and how journalists are the greatest thing ever, even though they never examine half the country. They never look into BLM and their shenanigans. They never look into any of that at all whatsoever. Instead, this is what they want the media to be. They want the media to be Donna Brazile, who might be a sweet woman, but I'll tell you, I should rephrase it. I actually know she's not a sweet person. I'm trying to be nice, and I'm going to stop that. I should just be honest. She's not a sweet person. She leaked debate questions to Hillary Clinton. She's a liar. This is what they want on your television. This is so low IQ television where Stalin wouldn't put up with this in Pravda. Play cut six.
Democrats understand that the stakes are high. This is a consequential midterm, and we know we have to defy history. That being said, look at the alternative. What are the Republicans planning to do to harm you, to harm the economy? Joe Biden has really done a fabulous job, I think, in making sure that everyday Americans can feel the things that he's doing.
He's done a fabulous job. I don't think this helps them. I mean, even honest Democrats know he's not done a, quote, fabulous job. And now they're bringing out from the bleachers. They are emptying their roster. Jen Psaki is back. Circle back, girl. She's here to tell us what the midterms are about. Not about inflation, not about crime, not about the border. No, in fact, Jen Psaki says the following, play cut 18.
Yeah, look, I think that Democrats, if the election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side, then they're going to win. If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose. And they know that. They also know that crime is a huge vulnerability for Democrats. I would say one of the biggest vulnerabilities.
Yeah, it's just a matter of who's extreme. You know, the people that want to get rid of fossil fuels, keep our borders wide open. When you look at who has the power, and this is the deeper point, Tucker and previously Rush and many others, they were powerful. They are powerful because of you, because of the audience. And so when Gavin Newsom says, I'm worried about Tucker Carlson, you know what he's worried about? He's worried about Tucker Carlson's audience. He's worried about people. He's worried about being held legitimately accountable. What is going on in the Silver State? In Nevada, there is something very interesting brewing. Now, producer Andrew is from Nevada, and I have to say, he's appropriately cynical about the political future in Nevada, and I understand it completely. He grew up in Nevada. He used to be a reliably red state, and then Harry Reid and that group of criminals turned it into an unrecognizable union-dominated culinary union-dominated in particular, nightmare, where every time they think that they can pull one off, every time conservatives think they got a chance, it just so happens enough ballots turn up right on the strip, unaccounted for, well, allegedly unaccounted for, and it just seems to slip away. Harry Reid won by 150 votes against John Ensign in 2000. Harry Reid barely beat Sharon Angle. I think that was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. Barely. Now, Republicans can win Senate races in Nevada. I believe his name was Dean Heller recently, was a senator from Nevada. And Adam Laxalt is shocking the world. Nevada has all of a sudden become this sleeper race where Democrats are almost beginning to expect a loss in the state of Nevada. So there's a couple things happening in Nevada. Number one, Governor Sisolak is one of the worst governors in America. He's a Democrat governor. And he has a lot of resentment brewing in Nevada because of how he inappropriately locked down the casino and gaming industry, how he went full Gestapo. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their livelihoods. A lot of people never got back to where they were. There is serious financial misery that is all over Clark County. All over Clark County, although, and Clark County is the biggest county in Nevada. And so the gaming industry in particular was just destroyed by Sisolak, which is a massive amount of jobs. Now, you know, casino gambling might not be your thing. That's not the point. The point is that it's an economic engine, and there's so many other things, so many other industries that are supported outside of just not casino gaming. Restaurants, you know, entertainment shows, plays, all sorts of different things, sporting events, conventions. A lot of stuff happens in Vegas outside of just the stereotypical stuff, which exists, by the way. It's a, you know, very depraved place in a certain sense, but so is every American city. And I think there's some wonderful people in Vegas, and I know them, and I have dear friends there. But they destroyed that industry inappropriately, unnecessarily. So that's number one. Number two, Nevada has seen a significant increase in out-of-state people coming from California. And a lot of them have been Republicans. A lot of them are not necessarily coming to Nevada just to go vote for Democrats. A lot of that growth has been in the Lake Tahoe area or the Reno area, or, and especially in the Vegas area, the Summerlin area. They're leaving for tax purposes. And so a candidate like Adam Laxalt, who quite honestly is very disciplined, run for office several times, not a lot you can attack Laxalt on. Not a lot you can go after him. That helps him. But the second thing, which is very, very important, and we have Adam Laxalt coming on the program this Thursday, is that Latinos in Nevada are defecting from Catherine Cortez Masto in huge numbers. Now, I think Catherine Cortez Masto is Hispanic. I'm just assuming based on her last name. And so that's particularly interesting if this actually ends up playing out, that Laxalt very well might be able to beat someone who is Hispanic with Latinos defying a Hispanic candidate. Now, what am I looking at here? Three different independent polls, Trafalgar, Insider, and The Hill, all have Adam Laxalt up a point, 3 points, or 4 points. CNN has now come out and has officially named Cortez Masto. It's in our show prep as Castro Masto. That's not her name. It might as well be. No, it's Cortez Masto, the most vulnerable senator in the country. No, it's fine. It's just Cortez Masto, Castro Masto, whatever. I'm sure she's got some Castro leanings and some of her philosophical predispositions. Laxalt is surging in Nevada. Walker is surging in Georgia. Oh, I wish I had time to cover this. If the Democrats want to lose the Senate race in Georgia, keep on saying you want to rename the Braves. Like, go after that. Go all in on saying you want to rename the Atlanta Braves. The White House is saying we should really need to have that kind of conversation. Good luck with that. There's something happening. This is why they got to attack the communicators. They got to attack the narrative. These recent polls out of Nevada are very promising. Again, I'm not going to be happy until it's over, but there's something very, very important happening there. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.